This is Cityscape. I'm Steve Potter, and as far as I know, next weekend's AquaWorld Waves is really a first of its kind. It's a concert and multimedia event with the art, the artists, and audience even in the water. Here to explain, welcome Rich O'Donnell. He's the artistic director for Herding Cats Collective. Hi, Rich. Welcome to Cityscape.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to talk about this.
Well, it's so different and unique. But a little background first. The Collective, is it a production company? Would be that the right term? No?
No, it's an art collective production. Well, it is a production company. We produce concerts, but our motto is keeping St. Louis strange and wonderful. It's all made up of artists, participatory artists. We have four people who are the focus of this, and we engage artists of like mind, known professionals, and tell them what we're doing and let them do what they do best. They do the best. There's no boss with Herding Cats. And it's been working beautifully. Yes. Everything. We have a wonderful crew for this show coming up.
Well, aside from AquaWorld Waves, which is the event next week, give me some examples of the other projects that you've done.
Well, we've brought in some illustrious people, Martin Subotnick. We've had Terry Riley last year. We've produced two programs at the plaza behind the old post office, including a large number of people, musicians. We did In C of Terry Riley's with 45 musicians and three singers and some dancers. We've also included poets, Joe McPhee, a saxophone player from New York, and five percussionists, and we did some things in the water there. We did 60 by 60 several times at the Sheldon, which is produced by Rob Voicy in New York, but we did it here with over 100 dancers interpreting the 60-second pieces of music that were included in the program, and multiple small venue concerts of creative musicians, poets. We did one concert last year of showing abstract videos through abstract stained glass windows that Leah Kestrer made and hung scrims in front of it. It was, I think, a unique visual event. It turned into a more than three-dimensional image that was seen. Van McAwee and Roy Zurich provided videos that we shown through three different stained glass windows. And then Tom Brady at Satori also included a live performance with CDs reflecting lights and throwing an aurora borealis on the wall.
So all these complicated projects without a boss?
Yeah. That's Herding Cats. All right, yeah.
I get it.
A lot of the world-class, as I understand it, manufacturers invented things like the Manhattan Project, Apple, Skunk Works. They work like that. You hire the right people and they get out of the way. And it's very successful.
Hmm. So is it an overstatement to say that this really is a first, this particular event and what you're doing?
Well, I don't know everything that's going on around. I'm sure there have been other concerts around water, involving water, but this is the first that we know of that involves interactive video component, Tai Chi players in the water.
So yeah. This is going to happen in an actual pool.
It's going to happen at the Webster Groves University swimming pool. And I have to thank those people. They're a wonderful host. They've been most cooperative. It's a beautiful pool. But there will be limited access because we want just about 80 people in the pool at a time. And then the people who don't want to get in the water can surround the outside. But we can't completely crowd the room so that there's no...
How are you going to work that? Because I know this is a free event, so you're not selling tickets. Do you have to make a reservation? Or?
No, first come, first serve. Hmm. And we'll try to parse them out so that everybody gets a chance. Depends on how many people come. We have no idea.
Right.
So come early.
So let's talk more specific about this then. It's when you say underwater concert.
Your heads, your ears are underwater. Your body is floating on the surface. They have flotation devices so that you don't have to swim. if you don't wish. Well, we don't want swimming. We want people floating. The whole idea came from my floating in lakes and rivers, sometimes dipping my head underwater and seeing the water surface acting as a lens, seeing trees as fish see them. And that gave me the idea of using a video on that, the magic of that. So people will be floating very quietly. It's a very meditative environment, a completely different environment. And that's the idea, very peaceful. When you're in the water, you're completely focused on your senses. So it should be a different experience.
I'm looking at an image right now. I guess it's a photograph of some sort.
That's some of the source material that Van McAwee made to provide to Zlatko Trusic to do digital manipulation and lifetime mixing of the images to be projected. We're having 2 6,000 lumen projectors, one on the screen and one on the surface of the water. And he'll digitally mix them in relation to the music that he hears. Everything is improvised in what we do.
So some of the audience, if they choose, will be in the water. Some may be not. So will the experience be different, whether you're in the water or not?
Totally different. Yeah, the whole idea, hopefully as many people will get in the water as possible, because that's the real experience. There will be similar projections seen from above, but you won't have that experience, the meditative, all-immersive feeling of being in the water. We encourage people to bring suits, wear suits there, because they won't have to change before they get in. It'll be in three different sections, each 20 minutes long, and with an intermission in between to change flotation devices, and each section is different.
If anyone has a question about this, it's sort of complicated to describe. If you do have a question, you're welcome to join us at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. If you have a question or a comment about probably something you've never heard of before. So when you're talking about a concert, too, let's be clear about this. Don't have an image of, like, musicians playing underwater. That's not what this is.
Not entirely. Two of the sections will involve two synthesis, modular synthesis players, Mike Murphy and Kevin Harris. And they have used as a launching board whale sounds. And their sounds will be projected under the water with underwater speakers in the first and the third section. And I'd like to come back, if we have time, talking about how they're using these sounds. They're just marvelous. In the second section, there will be instruments that I've designed to be played. We'll be in the water. Ted Rubright is joining me. We'll be playing in the water and using water to play some of the instruments, and some of them will be piped in through the underwater speakers, and they'll be different. Perhaps we can listen to an example of that.
I think we have three.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you say a little something about each one?
Okay, the first example are just plain whale sounds, just a short one to hear how almost human the whales sound. I listened to many, many hours of them, and it struck me how communicative they are for me on a human level. I can play with them like I would another musician, except the range of sounds go much wider than any other animal or any instrument other than a synthesizer. Many of the aquatic animals sound just like synthesizers. You'll see some on the examples. So this is just plain whale sounds.
Sort of eerily beautiful.
Well, I find them rather plaintive. A humpback whale has a thorax about the size of a vending machine. Mm-hmm. And that's what those very low sounds, elephants make sounds like that, low. But then they can go all of a sudden very quickly as high as a bird. And that's where synthesizers really shine for aquatic sounds.
Now, the sounds we just heard, those wouldn't be audible to the human ear if we were in the water.
Oh, I think so.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, because those sounds are recorded with a hydrophone, which is like a microphone.
And, really?
And, yeah, oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, if you're near some whales, they broadcast at 180 dBs. It'll deafen you if you're too close.
What's the next sample we have?
Okay, this is a little bit humpback whale. One of my favorite animals, the harp seal, sounds just like a synthesizer, and some of my instruments are metallic sounds. Maybe you can tell the difference. That's going on in the second section. There will be three Tai Chi players, my wife and alum, and two master Tai Chi players, Leroy Alsop and his son Nicholas. Nicholas just came back last month from winning 2 gold medals and 2 silver medals at an international Chinese martial arts championship competition in Orlando, Florida.
Explain just a little bit what Tai Chi is, because I wasn't sure. I was thinking it was sort of like dance, but is it yoga, or what exactly is it?
It comes in many forms. Tai Chi is the basis of the more aggressive form of martial arts, Kung Fu. But these people teach the meditative side. It's very meditative, very focused, very balanced.
So this will be something that's performed in the water?
Oh, yes, with lights provided by our master of sound and lights. We have 4 programmable LED lights that will be shining colored lights on them. Mm-hmm. They're wearing a kind of a fluorescent cape that will reflect the light in a sort of a magical way. And that's also reflected in the imagery that's going to be projected on the screen. And Brian is doing the lights and the sound for that. So, it'll be a program. The third section will be more visual images. They're all different.
Before we talk about the visual images, we have one more audio clip.
Okay.
Let's do that one first.
All right. This is a jam session. This also will happen, something like this, in the second section. But it's many sorts of aquatic animals, including frogs and seals and harp seals. Might be snoring.
We're talking with Rich O'Donnell of Herding Cats Collective about Aquaworld Waves, which is an event next Saturday at Webster, where the program is sort of in and out of the water as well as the audience. So how much rehearsal do you do? Is it sort of part of an improv, so to speak? Or
good question. The performance is all improv, but we've had 3 rehearsals. Our dress rehearsal is this coming Saturday night. But they're more like tweaking things that the video and the audio balances, and sometimes just getting things to work. It's very difficult to put all this together because most of the things we try don't work at first.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to come up with an alternative.
So even though a lot of it's going to be sort of done impromptu on the spot, you and others have put in a lot of time.
Hundreds of hours.
Yeah.
In my case.
What's involved in that?
Well, designing the instruments, I I design a lot of instruments, and so I have a backlog. I'm a sound junkie. All my life I've been doing that. But I find that trying to get them in the water to sound is a completely different ballgame than in the air. So I had to learn a lot and failed a lot. Well, that's how I learn. I fail. I say, don't do that again.
That's part of the artistic process, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You started to talk about the video aspect.
Mm-hmm. Van McAwee, who is here in St. Louis, he's a Guggenheim winner. He teaches at Webster University, professor in electronics and photographic medium, has prepared basic footage of videos, abstract videos. And he's a master. He's displayed all over the world. And then this is fed to the mixing material that Zlatko is using. He's going to mix these images together and do digital processing on them in an improvisatory live technique. So everything is going to be as you really do it. All these people are improvisers, so we don't, if you're really an improviser, you don't rehearse. You want it to be,
right. You
use your technique. And that's the easiest part for us.
Will you be able to, I guess, sort of save this for posterity? Will this be documented? Can you film? Can you capture this, the
Good
experience
question.
Some way?
My daughter-in-law, Debbie Lum, who is the author of Seeking Asian Female, which was broadcast on NPR, is bringing in one of her colleagues, Leo Chung, and they're going to film above water and below water the event. They're coming in from San Francisco.
Wow. Herding Cats Collective presents Awkward Waves Saturday, August 31st, next Saturday, at Webster University's Student Center Pool. It's free and open to the public. For more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. And you also think it would be a good idea for people to Google something.
Yeah, Google Awkward Waves.
And spell that.
A-Q-U-R-L-D, waves, as you think. I'd also like to add that I really want to thank the Regional Arts Commission for this innovation grant, because that's what started this whole thing.
Right. And anything, just briefly, you want to say for people that are coming, you know, swimsuits are optional. Don't take that the wrong way. You don't have to get in the water is what I mean.
Well, no, but I strongly suggest that you do. The light is dim if somebody's a little bit concerned about their body image. It's if you come with your suit onto your clothes, you can change after you get out and save a lot of time.
That's Rich O'Donnell, Herding Cats Collective. It's Aqua. That's Awkward Waves, Saturday the 31st. Thanks so much, Rich. It's fascinating.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with Mo Rocca about juggling his roles as CBS Sunday Morning Correspondent, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me panelist, and host of My Grandmother's Ravioli on the Cooking Channel. We'll also take a look at the Before I Die project coming to Craft Alliance, in which participants are asked to post on a wall their completion of the phrase, Before I Die, I Want To, then you fill in the blank. Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he and his guests will talk about the release of the latest MAP scores and what the results mean for area school districts, as well as what goes into the accreditation of a school district. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Aaron Dorr, with assistance from Camille Phillips and Jeremy Bailey. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council Estate Agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Steve Potter. Have a great weekend.